Hebrews 11 and 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to minister on this thought this morning to you, church, choosing to do God's will. It is a choice for us to do the will of God. It was a choice for Moses to do the will of God. He had the opportunity to stay in the land of Egypt, the life that was at ease, the life that was comfort. He had everything that he wanted. He had it made in the shade, if you will. But then God decided, I'm going to choose this man to do a work for me, to bring a deliverance to my people. And God had ordained a 40-year time period to train this man, Moses. If we're going to do great things for God, we must allow God to prepare us. There is a time of preparation in the life of every man and woman of God where God is preparing you for your purpose here upon this earth. For all things do truly work together for the good, for those that love God and those that are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. There is a purpose for the pain. There's a purpose for the suffering. There's a purpose for every trial that comes our way. If we look at it with the wrong perspective, that God's after me, that God's testing me, that God's trying. Listen, think it not strange, brothers and sisters, that trials, fiery trials, tests that come your way, these are all in the plan of God for our life. Too many Christians today are preaching a gospel that if we suffer, we're out of the will of God. If we're struggling, we're out of the will of God. We're not doing the will of God. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, Moses gave up the good life, the prestigious life, the life of everything, of living in the palace of the Pharaoh and having everything he wanted. He made a choice to rather suffer. I said to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of this world for only a short season. How many of us know one life will soon pass, and only that which is done for Christ, only the will of God is only thing that's going to matter when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that we have done here upon the earth. Everything else is a waste of time. Everything else is like the great man Solomon said, vanity, vanity, and vexation of spirit are the only thing that matters in the life of us as believers is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. But it is a choice that we individually have to make to do the will of God. The will of God is not always joyous. The will of God is not always something you feel like doing. Matter of fact, most of the time, the will of God is sacrifice. It is labor. It is something that's going to go against your flesh. It's something that's not always going to make you feel good. God sent him on the backside of a desert. And brothers and sisters, if any of us were brought from the greatest, amen, to the poorest, we would begin to question, is this the will of God for our life? God brings him out here to train him. And God has some teaching for this man. This was a man that came to God on the backside of the desert and heard the voice of God out of a burning bush. God has a will for every one of our lives. God had a plan for Moses. God knew what he was already going to do with him. But how many of us know God gives us a will? That will is something that you desire to do. And in the life of a Christian, we must die out to our will that his will can be accomplished. Your will and dreams and visions and your plans for your life can be fulfilled for a period of time. But then when God steps in and says, it's time for you to go on the backside of a desert because I'm getting ready to prepare you. I'm getting ready to bring you into a season of schooling and education and showing you how to be a shepherd for the flock of God that I'm going to use you to lead out of Egypt. God used and prepared Moses in a mighty way. He first separated him unto himself. Bible says, for us to actually find God, we must first seek after God. How do we find God? Are you looking for God? Are you looking for His plan and His purpose for your life? What is the priority in your life? Do you get up throughout the day saying, well, I got to go do this. I got to go do. How about we get up in the morning and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? Now, I know we've got jobs and commitments and we've got responsibility. I'm not saying you shove that aside, but can I tell you, if God is calling you to lay some things aside, the life of the Christian is submitting to the will of God and doing His will and making it the priority in your life every day. The first point I want to make is let God find you. I would dare to say there's many Christians, because of the sin that they're committing, they're hiding from the voice of God. They're hiding from the presence of God. When we have sin in our lives, we don't want to come nigh unto God. We don't want to draw nigh unto that burning bush. We don't want to come to God because there's things that God requires of us first before we can actually come to Him. But no man can come to God, the Bible says, unless the Spirit of God is drawing that man. If you feel God nudging you, pulling at you, and drawing you in to more studying of the Bible, drawing you into more of a prayer life, drawing you more into His praise and worship time alone with Him, that is not the devil. That is God. The devil's never going to tell you to pray. The devil's not going to want you to study your word. The devil's not going to want you to come together with the brothers and sisters into church services like this where He can speak to you. He wants to seclude you. He wants you to be off all alone. But when we come together with brothers and sisters of precious like faith, God's presence can begin to move amongst us and begin to draw us unto Himself. God told Jeremiah the prophet, my people have been in bondage for 70 long years. They've been oppressed by the enemy, but now I'm getting ready to deliver them. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, He gives them hope. Even though their full deliverance had not come and the time was not yet, He said in Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, He says, this is what I've got in store for you. Amen. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I want you to understand, my people, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I'm not going to leave you oppressed. I'm not going to leave you depressed. I'm not going to leave you suffering in this strange land, but I'm going to deliver you. But I have appointed a 70-year period of time because of your rebellion, because of your stubbornness, because of you doing the things that you wanted to do. Now you've been brought into captivity, but I'm not going to leave you there captive. I will hear the prayers of my people. Aren't you glad that God always hears the prayer of repentance? Aren't you glad that when we fall into sin and we rebel against the will of God, that God just doesn't cut us off, but God says, come unto me and let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God is a God that wants to come to us and deliver us out of our present circumstances and bring us out of our darkness and into the marvelous light. He said in verse 12, then shall you call upon me. Notice verse 12 out of Jeremiah 29 and 12. Then shall you call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. God said, I want you to acknowledge me. I want you to realize that I am the one that puts you here, and I am the one that can deliver you out of here. Then shall you call upon me, verse 12 in Jeremiah 29, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God wants it all. He wants your body. He wants your mind. He wants your spirit. He wants it all. He gave everything to you, and now He has the right to say, I've given you life. You are my servant. I've given you eternal life. And what I'm requiring of you is everything from you. Your will and my will is going to be the hardest thing to defeat. I want to deal with this for a moment about seeking God. Seek me, He says. Then shall you seek me, He told the children of God. Proverbs 8 and 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh what? Findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You want to know the will of God? You got to seek him. You got to ask him for him to show you. Now, he might not give you every detail. He might not give you every little pretty little picture of every. Listen, but he will give you a destination. This is where I'm bringing you. He didn't tell Moses, you're going to have to go through all of this before you finally bring my people to be delivered. God had a period of time where he prepared Moses. And can I dare to say that many of us are being prepared by God right now? Number two, once we find God, now we must follow him. Once we see God, once we see that we have been called for such a time as this, we have been called not for our will, but for his will to be done, that he has a plan, that he has a purpose to use each of us. It takes time for God to teach you to be led by his Spirit. This is the key, knowing how to be led by the Spirit of God. For us to follow God and come to him, sometimes God will require us to leave something behind. Moses, you can't come to me until you get rid of them sandals. What is God asking you that's coming between him and you? What is he asking you to get rid of? What is he saying that he wants you to get out of your life that's hindering you from coming any closer to him? Jesus taught his disciples, in order for you to follow me, you've got to get rid of some things out of your life that will hinder you. You got to get rid of some relationships. You got to get rid of some people. You got to get rid of some baggage. You got to get rid of some things that are hindering you. Moses, take those sandals off. You can't come any further. He says, don't come to me. You stop. That's what he said. You can't come to me until you get rid of that. Jesus shows us this same lesson in Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, Matthew 4:18, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, verse 19, follow me, and I will make you. I'm going to make you men of God. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to prepare you, Peter. I'm going to prepare you, Andrew. And the Bible says in verse 20 of Matthew 4:20, and they straightway left their nets. Oh, hallelujah. And followed him. Here comes Jesus walking and they see him and he says, hey boys, follow me and I'll give you a new life. You got to give some things up though. And the Bible says that they took their nets and they cast them to the side and they were willing to follow this man named Jesus. Would some of us be willing to give up our jobs? Would some of us be willing, if God said it plainly, I've got a work for you to do, but you've got to leave some things behind? Are we willing to make the sacrifices? Moses had it made in the courts. He was being waited on. But on the backside of the desert, there's no one serving you out there. Most of us as Americans don't want to give up our pleasure. We live in a generation that loves pleasure more than they love God. Therefore, many of Christians will never experience the true blessings of God that make them rich and add no sorrow because they aren't willing to give up some material things. Until we are willing to not make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, we're never going to see a move of God in our lives. I'm not talking about you having revival. I'm talking about me. I need more of a revival because, amen, this church will never see a revival until that revival comes to the pastor. And I'm praying that God help me to get rid of what I got to get rid of. Help me, Lord God, to put aside anything that you want me to put aside, that I can come into the inner court, that I can come into the presence of the fire, and I can obey your voice and do that which you are commanding me. We've got to get untangled. We're too tangled up into the cares of this life and we can't do the will of God. Some of us can barely make it to church on Sunday because we're too tangled up in the nets. Get rid of those things that are called those worldly nets These boys had to get rid of their nets. What's entangling you and preventing you from following Jesus? What's keeping you back? Problem is, we've got too many Christians that are double-minded. They want to serve God, but they don't want to totally serve Him. They only want to go so far with their relationship because they don't want to be considered a fanatic. How many have heard this? You're taking this God thing too far. You're just going too far with this. But all the eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, the great things that God has for them that love Him, those that are willing to obey Him, those that are willing to put the things of this world that bring pleasure and bring awe and security in this life. Moses was willing to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of a life in the king's palace of the Pharaoh. He was willing to say, I'll go and do your will, oh God. Double-minded people will never, never experience the fullness of what God has for them. James 4 and 8, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh unto God. You have a responsibility to get closer to God. It's not my responsibility to bring you into the presence of God. You have a responsibility to pray, to seek His face, to knock, and the door will be opened up to you. He says, if any man hear my voice, He said, and you open up, I will come into you and sup with you. He's talking about that intimacy of the prayer life. He's talking about that intimacy of getting into the Word of God, shutting out the job. Get rid of the material. Get rid of the superficial. Get rid of the things that are vanity. We want the power. We want the presence, but we don't want to make the sacrifice. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. We live in the world all week and God knows where our hands have been. And then we come in here and try to lift up holy hands and they're filthy and polluted. And we wonder why we aren't seen. The anointing of the Holy Ghost flow amongst us. And we only get little spurts of it. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners. If you want to experience the holy presence of God, you've got to wash at the laver. You can't come unto God and draw nigh until you purify yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all of their ways. If you're going to really follow Christ, it's going to take a life of daily self-denial. We must deny our will for His will. Matthew 26 and 39, and He went a little further, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says, and He fell on His face, Matthew 26, 39, and prayed. You'll never get close to God until you get a prayer life. And He went a little further. This is Christ giving us an example. And He prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. In other words, He said, this is the example. Your will be conquered in your prayer life. You have got to make yourself do the will of God. You've got to tell that flesh, I'm not going to obey you and the lust thereof. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to get up and pray. I'm not going to watch television and listen to the radio. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm not going to try to get the fruit of somebody else. I'm going to get my own fruit. I'm going to get my own fruit. And the only way you can get some fruit that will last is you've got to labor. You've got to water. Oh, one man will plant, another man will water, but God will give you an increase. We need to sow to the Spirit, and then we will reap life and life everlasting. But when we sow to the flesh, we will reap the destruction of the flesh. Could I dare say that when we see a lot of Christians today, a lot of what's going on in many people's lives is because they have failed to discipline themselves, and they've sown too much to the flesh. And now they reap the harvest of that flesh. I'm just as guilty as anybody. I've had seasons in my life where the Holy Ghost said, this is because you've sown to that flesh. This is coming because you sowed to that flesh. You're suffering because you sowed. Oh, we don't like to hear it. Ah, yes, you're forgiven. It's washed in the blood, but He chastens them that He loves. Hallelujah. He says, repent to that Laodicean church. Get rid of your laziness. Get rid of your apathy. apathy. Get rid of all those things that are keeping you from drawing nigh unto God. Oh, if you're really going to follow Christ, we're going to have to get rid of some things out of our life if we're going to enter into the holy presence of a holy God. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt. Verse 24 of Matthew 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. It's a daily battle. Paul said, I crucify myself daily. Can I tell you where your crucifixion is? It's in the morning. You get down on your knees and you say, God, crucify me. Crucify this flesh. Not my will, but thine be done. I don't want to do the things that will feed the flesh. I don't want to do the things that this flesh has an appetite for. But I want to crucify myself with Christ. Yet I live, but not I. But it's Christ that I want to live through me. It is a daily sacrifice in the altar of prayer before you ever leave, amen, your home to work, before you ever read that newspaper, before you ever turn on that television, before you ever put that CD in that car, and you make up your mind that I'm going to sell out to God. I'm going to crucify this flesh. I'm going to do that which the Father wants me to do because I want to do thy will, O Lord. If any man is going to follow me, Jesus said, let him deny himself. You shouldn't have to constantly be told it's wrong. Shouldn't have to be constantly told to quit doing it. You should know in your heart. Listen, if you've gotten to a place where you have lost the conviction of the Holy Ghost, you are in trouble as a Christian. But that Holy Ghost inside of you, he'll let you know when you are not doing the things that are pleasing to him. Deny yourself and take up his cross and do what? Follow me. We got a lot of crossless Christians today. They want to follow Christ without bearing the cross. They want to follow Jesus without denying themselves. They want to say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they live ungodly. They don't live consecrated or dedicated or committed. Oh, they'll show up to church and pay their tithes, but they're really not wholeheartedly sold out for Christ. And can I tell you, when the persecution comes to the church here in America, like it is in the Middle East, like it is in Europe, like it is across this world in Africa, where Christians are giving their lives for Jesus Christ, when it begins to come on our homeland, oh, it'll never happen in America. Brothers and sisters, God's judgment is getting ready to come to a nation called America because we have fallen into apathy. We have fallen into lethargy. We have fallen into a complacency where we will not wholeheartedly serve God and do the things that we know we should be doing. Therefore, God will chasten us and God will allow us to be judged. I don't know how much longer God's going to give us in this nation. We better pray. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to every nation. Let me just quickly give you the last few verses. Amen. The Bible says, and whoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life, in other words, deny yourself, your dreams, your visions, your wants, for my sake, not for the sake of others, to please others. But Jesus said, you got to lose your life in my life. He says, you shall find life when you give up your life for me and my will for you. Verse 26 of Matthew 16, 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My last point, and I'll be very brief with it. Once God speaks to you, you must obey his voice. Moses, I've called you, Exodus 3 and 5. He said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Stop right there. You can't come any further until you do this. Take off thy shoes. If we want to approach God, we got to approach God in obedience. He'll never take us any further until we obey that which he's already commanded us. Once we obey, then he will allow you to have more access to draw closer to him. Exodus 3:9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have chosen also and also seen the oppression wherewith the children of Israel are oppressed. Verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He says, come now, therefore. He speaks of him. Now it's time for you to obey what I want you to do. For 40 years, God prepared him to be the deliverer. He is a type of Christ, Moses is. Moses in the Old Testament is a picture of Christ coming and dying and willing to give his life and obey God, amen, and bring a deliverance to the people of God out of Egypt. Christ came to die for us in obedience, that we could all come out of the bondage and the death that sin brings and find life and life everlasting through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that he's done that for us, church? Amen. True obedience is doing the will of God. True obedience is doing the expressed, whatever he has expressed and shown you and revealed to you. When you do it, you will be blessed. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but it is he that doeth the will of my Father.